So, welcome everyone. We are on the call tonight, and this is called Fit as a Fiddle Plus, where we talk about all things health and wellness. And it's everything really. It's the mental health, it's the physical health, it's the spiritual health, and it's sometimes even the financial health. So it's just everything concerning health and wellness. We're getting ready to launch an actual mastermind, and that's going to get underway in 2024, where we're going to have, oh, Carmela's driving, she said. So thanks for the offer, but she's driving. Anyway, Carmela, listen in. So Carmela's in our audience today. So welcome. We're glad you're here as well. We are recording this. And so after the call today, I will send the recording over to you, Julia, and feel free to use it however you'd like. And I want to tell you a little bit about myself, and then I'm going to pass it over to Rita, and then we're finally going to get to learn all about Julia. So for me, I am a passive income coach, but I am discovering one of the things I teach in my Build a Better Business class is that you have to start first and get clarity second. Sometimes we sit too long trying to make sure that everything's all in a row and we're ready to go. And then we never launch whatever we're thinking about launching because we just keep finding things wrong with it on what we, well, I need to do this still, or I need to fix that first. So you just have to get out there and then tweak it as you go. And I say all of that to say this, as I'm 4 years, 3 or 4 years into my coaching, don't get me wrong, I love the coaching and I've got coaching clients. I've got about 10 coaching clients, which is like perfect for me, that, one-on-one. But I find that I really love to mentor where there's just no money exchanged at all, where I can just give. And that's really my sweet spot where I just love to mentor. And then when I see the light come on and somebody is like, hey, that's the piece I was missing. That just makes it all worthwhile for me to know that I have inspired someone to take their next best step. So I'm discovering that about myself. And so in 2024, I'm going to be doing more mentoring. I'm not going to do less coaching, but I'm not going to market that as heavy. I'm going to do actually more mentoring because, again, that's my sweet spot. So that's what I'm all about. And I've got about eight different lanes, but all of them point back to passive income, so that you can have freestyle living. But what I know is that health comes before wealth. And that's why this particular channel, which is all about Fit as a Fiddle Plus, you have to have health first, because what's the point of everything else if you don't have your health and you're stuck at home with caregivers because you can't do any of that freestyle stuff. So anyway, so that's what we want to talk about. And I'm in the middle of writing a blog post today about energy and vibration and how to raise your vibration with correct energy and how even just the, and I'm so bad. This is where I need to work. And this is right up Rita's alley. The foods we eat have their own energy, which changes our energy when we eat them. And I know, folks probably are like, oh, that's a bunch of foo-foo stuff, but it really isn't when you investigate that. And so, don't poo-poo it until you do a little research on your own if you're listening to this, because there is a lot of truth in there. And I just want everybody to be happy and healthy and have the wealth that you want. When we talk about wealth, it doesn't necessarily mean lots of money. It means that you're living the freestyle life that you want to live, what works for you. And so anyway, that's about me. I'm going to let Rita tell us a little bit about what she does. And then we're going to finally get to talk to Julia. So Rita, over to you.
Good evening, everybody. So glad you could be here. I'm Rita Brewer. I've been a clinically practicing physician assistant for 32 years in multiple specialties of medicine and surgery. And my passion now is helping people to get healthy and not just treat chronic diseases with more medication, but actually helping people to get healthy and reverse those chronic conditions. So I practice lifestyle obesity medicine. I'm a functional medicine practitioner as well. And I have a private health coaching practice where I do specialize in type 2 diabetes reversal, which I absolutely love, and lead a healthy lifestyles ministry at my church as well. And I currently work with one-on-one clients to help transform their health. So that's all about me.
Well, welcome, Rita. Rita is also my co-host, my co-mod. And Julia, I know that you probably saw this on Facebook because I put it across social media, but we've just launched our very first edition of the Freestyle Living magazine. And I'm so excited. And Rita is one of the authors in the magazine. And I had a couple of beta readers read through the magazine before we hit the launch button. And I was told that Rita was one of their favorite article writers. Yeah. So there.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They were like, wait. As a writer before.
Yeah. They were like, we like this one with the one that had the rest. And I said, oh yeah, that's Rita. So congratulations, Rita, you're right up there. So
thank you for having me.
Yeah. So that's wonderful. So I'm excited about the magazine.
Yeah.
And so Julia, when I announced our events this week and that you were going to be on with us this evening, in that same announcement was a link to the magazine. So be sure and check it out and give us your feedback. So, and let me know if you'd like to be a featured article writer at some point where we can feature you. That's one of the ways that I can give back. And so that's, again, with me giving back and trying, you know, the tide rises all the ships. And so I want to give back where I can. And this is a way that I can help promote those folks that have so much to offer. And so Julia, I know you've got lots to offer and we're going to talk about all that, but Julia Langley, she helps speakers and coaches overcome nervousness and fear to give confident, commanding keynotes so that they can get big paydays and get top tier clients and be recognized worldwide for their expertise. So connect with Julia if you're listening to this, because she knows how to get it done. With over 15 years as a featured singer for Cirque du Soleil, she has performed on stages in over 20 different countries and in all 50 states. That's amazing. Now, that's the good stuff. Here's the scary stuff. In 2019, she was hit by a Jeep while riding her bicycle. And it leaving her with injuries that changed her life forever. Four surgeries later and a diagnosis of PTSD, Julia started from ground zero and with courage and resilience got her life back on track. She believes she was given a second chance and has dedicated herself to empower others to share their story and truly be the force they were born to be in this world. So, oh my goodness, Julia, tell us a little bit about your backstory. That's quite the, and it probably starts before that, but wow.
I was two. No, I'm just kidding. I won't go there. Although actually, you know, let me say this. It actually did start when I was two, because that's the first time I sang a song on stage.
And okay. Wow.
Music has been a part of my life. Well, as you can see, my whole entire life, music, being on stage, performance, I just grew up with it and it shaped a lot of who I am and what I do. So, you know, after learning, growing all these years of putting in the hours, I auditioned for Cirque du Soleil and was chosen as a featured singer. I wound up working for them for, about 18 years, over 15 years. So, traveling the world, as you said, and, being able to perform in all 50 states, it, you know, it's life changing and also, requires a lot of stamina and physical tenacity and mental as well. So, you know, I'm working with Olympic athletes. These people are from all over the world. They're the best of the best. Mm-hmm. There's a standard there that you have to match. So, and as a singer, you know, they kind of look like, well, can you keep up? You know, I was in the Olympics in the Ukraine or whatever, you know. So they're working out. They were extreme workouts, learning how to take care of yourself on tour, eating, because, you know, it's hard when you're going to bed at 1 a.m. after you do a show, you know, you're eating at midnight. It's hard. It's tough, you know? So that's a whole learning process. Part of fitness in itself right there is learning how to get those legs under you. As I was, 2019, I was off tour and I was back home in South Florida and I just went to get an oil change in my car. So I jumped on my bike to go get coffee. I left my car, got on my bike, crossing an intersection. You know, I did everything right. I looked both ways. I stopped. Nobody was moving. Nobody was going. I went in the bike lane. I got in the middle of the intersection and then there was a Jeep sitting there and she just hit the accelerator and ran over me. I went up on the hood and out in the middle of a very busy federal highway in South Florida.
Oh my.
I had nowhere to go. I watched the Jeep run me down. Like, I watched it coming and yelled four times. So there was a lot of time from when the whole, it was like it moved in slow motion, you know, and it was pretty slow in the way that accidents happened, but there was nothing I could do about it. So that imprint, that's just that, it's always on my brain, the front of a Jeep being this close to your face. And that's really the last thing I remember before I was knocked out. You go from here to rock bottom. You can do it in an instant, and by no fault of your own, although you try to make sense of it. You know, you try to say, well, if I'd done this, or if I'd have done this, there's just sometimes things just happen. And that day it just happened.
Wow. So
what do you do from there? You know, and I was misdiagnosed at the hospital. I was not diagnosed, and I actually walked myself out on a broken leg that they didn't diagnose. So I had two broken ribs, a broken leg, a broken foot, and a broken wrist. So I had five broken bones and a double head injury or a subtle brain trauma. And I went home. They didn't keep me. And that, you know, that's a story, a whole different story, but it does play into that feeling that you're not even worth keeping overnight, or, you know, other reasons. 4 hours I'm in the hospital and I walked myself out, only to realize 3 weeks later that I had five broken bones. So I was calling people and they were like, are you coming to work? And I'm like, just give me a day. Just give me another day. You know, this is how it went. 5 days later, I think I need another, maybe give me a week. You know, 3 months later, I'm like, it was actually 3 weeks later, and I was getting yelled at by my doctor because I couldn't do leg exercises. So they x-rayed my leg and they found out it was broken.
Oh my goodness. How did they miss five broken bones? I know that's another whole story, but that's crazy.
They didn't look. Now, in their defense, rib injuries are very hard to see. Mm-hmm. So you can have broken ribs and not show up until later. But I had a broken patella. So my knee was broke. It was broken on the left side right under my knee. Not patella, a patella plateau right under my knee. And it was broken. They didn't x-ray it. So had they x-rayed it, they would have seen that. But they didn't x-ray it. And I remember at some point I got up and I had to go to the restroom. And they were like, okay. I was like,
with a broken foot, broken leg.
Yeah, but they didn't know, you know. And I'm like in the hallway and I'm trying to walk and I can't walk. And the nurse saw me. So she scooped me up in a wheelchair and I went to the bathroom. And then when I came back, their mouths fell open. They're like, why are you in a wheelchair? And I'm like, because I can't. So, you know, and I'm in shock all this time too. I think the biggest part of it was that after looking back, I still have a few leftover things from it because I felt like I really didn't have an advocate at that point in time. I started to see what a lot of victims of accidents go through. I never realized it before. And then once the nightmares started, which was about 2 to 3 months after the accident, I stopped sleeping, which, okay, the five broken bones isn't enough. And I'm not resting. You can't heal if you don't rest. And I wasn't sleeping. I was waking up having panic attacks and I thought I was losing my mind. Yeah. So you're injured. You're used to performing at a peak level and now you can't walk to the bathroom and back without pain and agony. You can't sleep at night. So there's so much that goes on with that and that people don't understand it facing a trauma. And when I was in the ambulance going to the hospital, I went blind. I had a moment of blindness. I lost motor control. I couldn't, and I thought I was talking, but they couldn't hear anything I was saying. So there was a moment of, they still don't know what happened to me in the ambulance. So I had, and that's when I really thought I thought I was, you know, you think you're not going to make it when you get hit by a Jeep. But then I really thought in the ambulance that this is what it feels like to not survive. This is what it feels like when you're dying. And
wow.
And it was profound for me. Yeah, it was profound. It was hard. The emotional after effects of that are, you don't know what you carry. And honestly, even when I thought I had worked through it, then I realized that there was a bigger rabbit hole I needed to go down because there was a lot of fear there, you know, that I really had to work through. Fear of speaking out, fear of using my own voice. And I help others use their voice. And there was fear there surrounding me of using my voice, you know. And then there was the obvious fear of crossing the street, going to a concert. I'm very noise sensitive. So I went to concerts with my friends and then I would have a panic attack and I would be embarrassed. I couldn't go to concerts. Listen, it goes beyond the accident.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And that's what, if there's anyone listening today, and there's one person here that understands, because it's much bigger than that. Then I went into having a surgery a year. So my body was basically being re-traumatized over and over again, like every year, you know. So wow. I had surgery a year ago. But I laugh with my orthopedic surgeon, you know, he says that I'm like the bionic woman. And I said, absolutely. So I've come through the other side better, stronger, more knowledgeable, more compassionate, more grateful, you know.
Because 2019 just isn't that long ago.
Yeah. And, you know, and I have to tell you, that wasn't the end of the trauma for me. As if that's not enough. Of course, we went into 2020 with the pandemic and being in the entertainment industry, that's the first thing that went, right? So Cirque du Soleil went bankrupt in 2020. I got my letter in the mail. So we went, there I go from that to not having a job, right? I came out of 2020 and my father passed suddenly in February of 21. And 1 month after that, my mom's house was hit by an F3 tornado. Yeah. Destroyed. So it was almost a, what did I do to cause this? Like, what's happening? And that's a lot to work through. My own health, my own injuries, my family's loss, it definitely changes you. Mm-hmm. But I think the message that I want to share about this is that you have a choice in how it changes you. You're not at the mercy of it. You have to have a relationship with those changes, right? And workarounds. And learn, you know, yeah, I learned that I can't, you know, hang upside down anymore or climb a rope that's 40 feet up in the air. I used to could climb it freestyle. That's how strong I was, you know. Yeah, I can't do that now. It was, my ego took a big beating, uh-huh. You know, in the beginning. But then I'm like, why do I need to climb a rope 40 feet? Why do I really need to do that? What do I have to prove, you know?
Well, part of that is because that's who you were. I mean, at the time, that's who you are. That's what you do. You're a performer. That's what you do.
But there was nothing saying I couldn't be fit again. And there was no one out there saying, yeah, now when I would get up in the morning in my back, I had my pelvis was twisted in the accident. So it was sprained. So that's what happens before a break, you know, your joints are twisted like this. So I couldn't walk right for a really long time. And I really thought, you know, there was a moment that I thought I'm never going to be the same again. I'm just going to live in pain the rest of my life. But you know what? I said, no, I'm not, I'm going to find a way, a level with this that I can have my happiness and be strong and healthy. And because I've got more, you know, God spared me. I'm not paralyzed. I'm still breathing. I am here for a reason.
Yeah.
And that, And I'm still learning all the reasons.
And you still have so much more to do.
Yeah, I'm curious, when you were going through the healing process, was your in your mind, were you thinking, I need to recover so I can go back to doing what I was doing before? Or were you feeling like, forget this, I'm not going back to that, I need to do something else? Like, what were you thinking?
That's a great question, because that's something. Here's the thing, before the accident, I was in a place where I wanted something new. I wanted to expand. I mean, I'd been doing that a long time. I wasn't unhappy, but I wanted more for me. I know that I had more to give. So I wanted an expansion. I was coaching. I had coaching clients when I wasn't on the road. So there was a lot of ways that I could expand. So I was looking for the opportunity to do it, but then wasn't really sure how to make it happen. You know, you get stuck in this and you start with it. Well, when I went into convalescence for this accident, and it took a lot longer than I thought, that was the whole year of 2019. The accident was in March. So that pretty much that whole year, I couldn't do much of anything. The first surgery was in July, and that was neck spinal cord surgery. So very serious. I had to have it. It wasn't even an option. And looking back, I've even had my neurosurgeon say they should have never let you leave the hospital. You were such a threat to, if you had fallen, there was a very good chance you would have been paralyzed. So I was sort of, it was tricky, you know? So I spent that first year convalescing, but when I started putting it together, this is what's interesting, to come back, I started doing the same thing I did before. And I had a good friend that turned to me and said, you want more than this. Why are you doing the same thing again? Because I was working myself to death. I was literally working 7 days a week, and I had coaching clients. I had a great full schedule, and I was so grateful, but I'd be like, I don't have to, Sunday at 9 p.m. Yeah, I'll take it. And I'm like, I didn't really mean for you. I was just saying, you know, I had no time, you know, and my friend was like, knock it off, Julia. Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know how to get out of the cycle, you know? And then the pandemic happened, and I kind of see the pandemic as a blessing. It was a blessing for me in a lot of ways, because it gave me a chance to pull back from this go, 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 go mindset of doing all the time. And it gave me time. So it gave me the time to step back, to reassess where I was and what I wanted. It gave me time to spend with my parents. So I came, because I was still convalescing. I went to Alabama, where my family lives, and I just hung out there. My mom's like, is everything okay?
We should know. Why are you hanging out this long?
It's like, are you trying to get rid of me? I didn't. I think I wanted to be in comfort and the safety, you know, of people who loved me, because I was living 10 hours away in South Florida. And, I mean, I had my own house, you know. So I wound up spending time there, and God knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. He knows what he's doing, because I got to go have breakfast with my daddy. And we got on the four-wheeler, we drove around on the land, you know, we spent time together. And this is really funny. Every night at 8 o'clock, we played solitaire together. Well, I know that's a one-person game, but he would play it and then I'd play it. And then, you know, we'd just go back and forth to see who was, we did it every night, you know. And I didn't know he was going to pass away in February of the next year. I had no idea. You know, I look back on that time, I'm so grateful. So I can't really, do I want to go through it again? No, I just look at all the beauty, all the goodness that came out of it. And I think that's a choice, though. I think that was a choice that I made, that I was determined that it wasn't going to beat me, that I wasn't going to let it win. And I think that really kept me from being in the pits of despair for a long time, really and truly.
So what are you doing now? What did you transition to? I know you're not back with Cirque du Soleil, right?
No, I did not go back with them. They do have some shows. They got back on their fitting back and they're running shows, which is great. But I have actually expanded my business, my coaching business, and I work with ambitious speakers. I just got back from England. I did a workshop while I was in England. I also did a wonderful event on trauma and using our voice to actually overcome trauma, which it's because singing and speaking, the techniques and the exercises that we use are so healthy for our bodies. They're not only for our heads, but also the breathing that's required, the muscle strength that's required to develop the skills. So I did it in partnership with a friend of mine from England who is a physical therapist, particularly trauma. She works getting people back to work in England. So that's the type of thing I'm doing now. I work with individual clients and I work with a lot of authors that are really trying to get out there on the scene, the book tour, people that have television shows. So really hungry people that have a message to share with the world. I help them cultivate their message and get it out there in the most powerful way possible. And I know that I'm in alignment. I know that I'm doing what I'm still doing,
or like just for your own pleasure, or you're still performing anywhere or no?
I am. I still perform. I actually did a series of shows in South Florida just last month. I'm actually working this now. This is a new thing for me. There's a band out of Los Angeles that is a gypsy jazz band that I'm actually doing some work with, and we're doing a Florida tour coming up. In January. So I'm doing a lot of singing, and I do have clients, performers, singing clients as well that I work with. So it's all things vocal, but a lot of people think because I'm a singer that I only work with singers, and that's not the case at all. I have a lot of clients who are really focused on speaking and getting their message out. So,
not just the vocal part of it, but you've got the whole stage presence and how to command, you know, your presence when you're in front of an audience. And so you've got, you're the whole package. If somebody wants to be a public speaker, you're the person they need to connect with if they want to really perfect that.
Well, that's exactly right, Kathy. And thank you for saying that, because that's really what I focus on. And really the overreaching arch here is confidence. And that's really and truly, I'm a confidence coach, but I do it by helping people get up on the stage and step into it. But at the end of the day, for me, it's about confidence, resilience, and that fighting spirit that we have to have, because you have to have them to be on stage. And I actually think that saved me in my accident. So that fighting warrior, you know, let's get up here and do it, translated into saving my life, really. Mm-hmm. And I think more people that face difficulties in their life, if they can latch onto that and then grab that and really be their own hero through those kind of things, that I think it would help them come out the other side.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I remember in my history, there was a time being a single mom and struggling financially. I remember very specifically looking in the mirror one day and saying, Kathy, you are smart enough to figure this out.
That's right.
And I remember saying that to myself. And with that grit and determination, I just decided I was going to pull myself up by my bootstraps, as they say, and get on with it.
That's why I love you, Kathy, because you are that's like no nonsense. It's like, come on. I say it all the time. I just call myself Langley, get it together.
I love that. But here's the big question when it comes to fitness and traveling, and even you're still performing, how do you stay healthy when you're on the road like that? Oh my gosh, there's fast food, which is terrible. But but at least it fits my budget. And so I have a tendency to, you know, sneak in and get some fast food because I'm hungry and, you know, and it doesn't break the bank. But how in the world, when you're traveling, do you stay healthy just in your body, in your physical being? How do you do that?
Well, it does require a bit of discipline. All right, I'm not going to lie, because it's very, very easy just to fall into a junk food trap and not an exercising trap, particularly when you're traveling. You know, I just got back from England. It was wonderful for me because I walked every single day, and they walk. This is what I said about England. They walk everywhere and it's all uphill. It never comes back down. Uphill both ways. So I don't know. That's what it seemed like to me. And so we would walk miles every day, right? So that was perfect to keep me fit. And when I got back home, I was like jet lagged. And I was like, well, I was like, hey, look at me, you know? But you have to make a point to exercise. And particularly when I was touring, we would fly all day long, bus, be on the bus, you know, and so you have to keep your head on straight because you can lose your mind doing that kind of stuff. You do just on the road all the time. So the second we would get off, we would go straight to the gym at the hotel. And it didn't matter what that gym was. It could be a treadmill. It could be a little stupid bicycle or weights, or just get a mat and put it out and do some stretching. All right. Even if it's 15 minutes, because sometimes that's really all we had. Like sometimes you had to choose between showering and stretching, you know, and sometimes stretching out was more important, you know? So choosing that. The other thing that we did is quite often we had rooms that had, we would make sure we would have refrigerators in our rooms. That way we could put food, we could, instead of going out every single night, we could actually go to the grocery store and buy foods that were healthier and keep them in there. And that way we would have them on hand too, that when we needed something, you know, to go and eat. It helps. I mean, it's not always available, but it's better than hitting McDonald's every single day. And I can't even eat it. And believe me, they stopped at McDonald's and I was like, I'm not eating, you know? So I would keep things on hand like that, that had a more nutritious value to them, and it got me through it. And then I remember fondly, we had one person who was French Canadian that was in our tour. So she was like, I called her a wine snob. She was like the wine snob, but she would throw parties in her hotel room, but she had smoked salmon and imported food from France and wine, dark chocolate. And I'm like, I feel like I'm at a retreat somewhere, you know? You know what? Home is where you make it. So
yep. Good friend to have.
Yeah, that's what we did.
But it was actually good stuff. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, when you think about what fast food is, what you're getting at McDonald's, and it has like zero nutrition value.
I don't even know if it's food, really. Is it?
It's not. It's chemicals. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And my dog won't eat it. So listen.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, he refuses to eat. I've tried to give him a bacon, egg, and cheese when we're traveling. Like we stopped and get breakfast. So I'm like, oh, we'll get him a little treat. And I unfolded it and he took it. He's a little picky now, I'm not gonna lie, but he took his nose and he folded the paper back up and shoved it down on the floor. No, thank you. I'll starve. I was like, fine.
I love it. So a friend of mine who's also passionate about health, she bought a Mickey D's cheeseburger and French fries and put it on the counter and just let it sit there to see how long it could sit to see what would happen with it. She still has it 5 years later. It's still intact. There's no mold. There's nothing. It's because it's all chemicals and preservatives.
That's awful.
It's amazing. You know, it's crazy.
What? Yeah.
Think about the people that eat that not only every day, but sometimes more than one time a day.
Yeah.
Right. Well, every meal, there's people that do that. They'll go through the drive-through every single day. You know, this is one of the things that I was actually talking to my mom about this and showed her pictures. In England, we went to a farm. I've never seen such perfect heads of lettuce. I even took pictures of it because it was just, and everything we ate was fresh. And I'm like, we need to we make a habit of doing this because I get really busy and don't want to take the time. So I just eat something on hand. But like I was a few minutes late for my mom had made a big kale salad. I was like, yay, I got some vitamins, you know. It's just really just choices. And I got bit by the bug while I was traveling in the UK because everything was fresh that we ate.
Mm-hmm. Everything. Well, and a lot of things that we eat in the States, they're not even allowed to have in some other countries. They're banned.
Yeah. And I hate to be a naysayer about it because we do some things really beautifully here, you know, but we are all about convenience here in the States. Mm-hmm. I think that our standards for quality sometimes go down because we're in such a hurry all the time. So I know that has an impact on it. You know, we took the time while I was over there because I, you know, we took the time every day to eat properly. Mm-hmm. And I loved it, you know.
Yes.
I want to continue that. That really set a good reminder because I typically eat pretty well anyway, but I'm a sugarholic. Like I know where my weakness is. I eat really good food, but then I love sweets. Mm-hmm. Listen, if I didn't eat sweets, I would be like, I can't. So anyway, that's my downfall. So I have to really monitor my sugar intake. And I try.
No, I get it. I'm right there with you. That's one of my struggles too. Yeah. Julia, I want to talk a little bit about how is singing and speaking related to health and fitness? In addition to just the muscle control and, you know, being fit and all of those things, what else does it do for our health?
Well, I think a better question is, what does it not do for our health? Honestly, first, let me say this, that singing, whether you're professional or not, or you're just singing in the shower, is one of the few things you can do that lights up all 12 centers, every single part of our brain. Okay. Lights them all up. So what it does actually is it works different parts of our brains. I can't tell you just how wonderful it is for our brain. It actually builds neurons in our brain. So it grows our brain, right? It provides growth. That's the first and foremost thing. But when I talk about lighting centers of the brain, it lights up the center of expression in our brain. So it allows us, and it allows some people that can't say words to mm-hmm. actually express themselves a lot easier. So a lot of times that you'll see someone on stage who is actually more themselves than they are off the stage. You see that crotchety performer, they get off the stage and they're really grumpy. Well, that's really not who they are quite often, is on the stage when they're being able to express. So this is a lot of what singing, a lot speaking does for you. The other thing is it lights up the logical centers of our brain because there is a pattern to music in particular, to rhythm and cadence. And so we use that forming these patterns and learning how to keep them succinct, the rhythms, and also learning sounds, learning lyrics, all of these things are the on the left side of the brain. When you participate in it, it creates endorphins in your body. And I can tell you, private clients, they can be in the worst mood. And believe me, I've seen it all. They come in there grumpy as all get out, right? And if they do that, I make them do vocal exercises. And I have a million of them. And I'll say, this is what we're doing today. And I promise you, by the time they finish, they have a smile on their face. Because yeah. It pulls endorphins. It really lights those endorphins up in their body. It makes them feel good, actually. Yes,
absolutely.
So that's a part of it. There's a fellowship part of it, too. because when we are expressing, when we are in a group or singing or speaking, there is this common relating that we have between people. So it really gives an opportunity for that. Now let's talk about physical. These are just a few of the mental. All right. Let's talk about the physical. Singing has actually been used to cure long COVID. It's scientifically been done at this point. So people who have 6 months or longer of symptoms of it, because singing builds the diaphragm, all right? And it strengthens the lungs. So I have a lot of, I've worked with some older clients that have done it specifically for that reason, to keep their lungs really strong, to keep their bodies strong. I had one client that wrote me and said, you know, we have a lot of tricks doing this that help us in everyday life. I said, absolutely. So one thing is clears out our sinuses. You don't know it does, but if you sit there and you buzz your face and doing these vocal exercises, it actually breaks up the mucus that's in your head, you know, from here up actually. So that's just a few.
Just a few, yeah. I'd love to add too, you probably already know this, Julia, but for our audience, so singing or just even humming activates the parasympathetic nervous system. So we've got the sympathetic and the parasympathetic. So the sympathetic is that fight or flight mode, but the parasympathetic is that rest and digest mode where all healing of the body takes place. And that vagus nerve from the diaphragm sends signals up to the brain. And that when that system is activated, all healing in the body can take place. And singing and humming helps you to do that. And that makes sense when you talked about the, you know, the long COVID, because it creates that that balance where the body can work on healing itself. And I know personally for me too, you know, I'm such a sciencey person and always like in clinical practice, go, go, go. So for me, my release and stress relief to bring joy to my life is like, I just sing in my choir at church. And I know when I go to choir come home from choir practice, I'm like on a high. I'm like buzzing, and like it takes me a while to come down from it because I'm just like, this is so fun, you know. Just like, you gotta have this joy in your life, you know, and not just we just work and work and work, and we don't allow that joy, you know, unless you're, you know, in the business where you're doing it all the time. But yeah, that's definitely been my experience of just feeling like elated, and like you said, the endorphins, yeah, I love it.
I think that that's amazing. And thank you for explaining the science behind it, because you can do that better from a clinical standpoint. I'm not a clinician. I think that that is amazing what you're talking about, the connection, you know, the connection between your head, between your body, you know. And I talk to my clients, I'm like, you think speaking, it's a physical activity,
right?
Why, when you have to speak for an hour or so, or do it, let's say you're doing a summit somewhere, you're giving a keynote, you're exhausted.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's mental work and it's physical work on your body, especially if you're using proper technique.
Yeah.
You know, which is, I'm a big proponent of that, because, you know, in my life, I've seen so many people that don't. And then, and these are the problems. I mean, you get tired when you lose your voice, or, you know, that happens when proper technique isn't used. But yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you too. I didn't know about all the brain centers that it,
yeah,
that's
they've done the testing on that. Actually, there's been tests done and they watch it light up.
That's cool.
As you do it. It's really, really cool to watch what the brain does on singing with singing.
Sing more, people. Sing in the shower, sing in your bedroom, in the kitchen, put the music on and sing. In the car. That's right.
Every chance you get. And, you know, it changes singing. I've seen singing change people's lives. And it's so funny as a speaker coach too, I've seen some speakers come in and they're like, yeah, I'm not a singer. And I'm like, that's fine. We will do some vocal exercises that kind of get you prepared vocally. And they're very similar. And then by the end of it, they're like, do you, could sing.
Because deep down they really want to, but they just don't think they're good enough.
I get it a lot. You'd be amazed. Yeah, I'm not. Okay.
That's such a fun fact that I didn't know, that folks that come in totally turned off by it start to soften up a little bit. I love that.
I have to tell you, I had actually someone that did that, that said, a client, that a speaking client of mine, that was like, you know, I'm not a singer. And I said, that's fine. And then the first keynote they gave, I went to it and they stood up in front of the room and said, I'm going to do something different today. And I was like, oh, okay, we didn't prepare this. And she went, somewhere for the rainbow. And I was like, and I jumped up. And I'm like waving my hands. I'm screaming. I couldn't believe it. I was like, where did that come from? I don't know. I just felt like I could do it. And I'm like, it was an amazing moment for me.
My guess is that she was spot on when she did it too.
Did. And just the confidence that it took to do that, you know, that someone that doesn't consider themselves a singer and just bursts out with that, and the vulnerability and really opening up. I just, on so many levels, was just floored. I was just so excited. You know, it's a great
I love that. That's a great story. How do you personally keep the four domains of health balanced in your life?
The four domains. Tell me what you mean by the four domains.
Like the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual. How do you keep all of that balanced? And how has your faith helped you in your journey?
Okay, thank you for clarifying. I could have guessed, but I didn't want to guess. How do I keep it balanced? Well, first let me say this, Kathy. I am a big proponent of balance, and that's a whole nother rabbit hole we can go down another day. Because people have attached a bad connotation to the word balance these days. I've seen it in a lot of places where they talk about, you know, balance isn't good. And I think it's your perspective on balance. All right. And I'm big into that. I think of it more in terms, and this is biblical and a little bit more biblical, but the narrow path. And I'm actually in the process of writing a book about this right now. It's really funny that you say this.
All right. Stay in touch with me, because I've got the Ohio Writers Guild, and we'll get you on there when you're ready with your book.
Very good. I'm glad I brought that up, Kathy. Thank you. Yeah. I'm writing a book about this because I think it's, I want to change the perspective on the word balance because of what it really is. But balance isn't really perfection. And I think so many people think that to be balanced, it's like this precarious position that you've put yourself in. I just pull from all corners. I have a schedule of my day, right? It's very important to me to start my day. I write my prayers. All right. People do it different ways. For me, I read my devotional and then I write my prayers to God. So I write my letters, my conversations to God are down, right? That way I can just get it out and, you know, so that I schedule it. I schedule these things in my day that are very important. That I schedule my workout. Even it, I walk my dog certain times a day. So I get my walk in and then I do it. A 30 to 45 minute yoga, the weight training, whatever it may be, but I schedule it in the day because listen, no one wants to be around me if I don't work out. All right. I'm not afraid to take a nap in the middle of the day. All right. Some days are busy. Today's been one of those. It's just been back to back to back to back all day long. And I know I have days like that where you can't take a nap, but there are days that I'll say, you know what? I'm going to stop. And I'm going to pick my feet up for 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And feel guilty about it.
Yes, me too. Love it.
Yeah. And naps reset me because it just gives me a time to not do anything, really, to think about it, you know. Mentally, the workouts help. But I am I'm somewhat of an intellectual, so I study a lot. And that I study all kinds of different things though. I read everything I can get my hands on. I'm a big reader. Some people don't like to read audiobooks. Hey, you get audiobooks, watch videos, do something, but something that's educational. And it might be learning about the earthquakes and, you know, in Nepal. I don't know. It might be that, but I'm always studying something. So it keeps me mentally. And so these are where my ideas come from. So between the workouts, my work, my naps, you know,
prayer,
I get these, and then I get still and I get these inflows of ideas and this creativity where I almost just can't write them down fast enough. Not, I start pacing because I'm like, it's just this energy, you know, that I want to get out. I've managed to make this work for me. I know my, I think the key here is being self-aware. And I think that we have to self-check, because there'll be times where I fall a little back, or I eat too much sugar and I have to pull myself up, you know, or there may be a day where I don't want to work out. I fall back and I have to pull myself back, you know. But I think if we can moderate our lives like that, I think that is a one way to balance them, is the moderation of things. It works.
I love that.
Yeah, yes. Inspiration for writing that way too.
I say that again. I'm sorry.
That environment that you create definitely gives you the opportunity to have that environment for the creative writing that you're working on.
Yes, absolutely. The ideas, sometimes they flow and I write them down and I go back and look and I thought, you know, but I have to write them down because I forget them, you know, like they just come. It's like a download that I get. I guess this is the creative in me really working, but this space that I give myself allows for that. The prayer allows for that. That quiet time allows for that. Because I think we get into just doing and doing and doing and doing, and we don't give enough time to be and really to sit with our thoughts. You know, it's like going to a networking event and then not giving yourself enough time to follow up with anybody afterwards. You know, it's like doing, 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 and then you never give yourself the space to embody it. So that's how I keep myself centered most of the time. Yeah.
I love that. I love everything that you're doing. I love following you. I followed you all around the UK with your pictures and your posts. So I love that about you. And I was so excited to have you on this evening. So thank you, Julia, for your time. Tell us, how can all of our listeners and viewers get in touch with you if they want to connect with you? What's the best way?
Well, the best way right now, because I'm actually in the process of rebranding right now, so my website's a little defunct. You can go to linktree.com. That is the best place. I have all of my links. You can reach out to me through social media and all of the links are there. You can also see the things that I'm doing. I'll have masterclasses that come up or events that I'm involved in, and they get posted on my Linktree. So that's a great place to go. Yes, that's it. Thank you, Kathy, for doing that. And you'll see we update that pretty regularly. I also have a song on Spotify. Rita, it's the great Andre Crouch. I'm sure you know do you know who Andre Crouch was? He was
the name.
Okay. You gotta look him up. You're gonna love him. Okay. He wrote gospel, like soul gospel.
Okay.
Like when I was younger, and he wrote a couple of songs. He wrote a song called My Tribute, and he did a song called Soon and Very Soon, right? Well, a very good friend of mine, I grew up in gospel music, right? Being from the South. And on YouTube. Yes, Spotify. It's on Spotify.
Oh, Spotify.
Yeah, it's actually on Spotify. And the song is called Soon. But a friend of mine went back to his roots from when he was really young and pulled together a group of people to put on this Gospel Roads concert in Columbus, Georgia. So he pulled in people that have been in the industry. It was just an amazing event. So we went into the studio and did our own arrangement of Soon and Very Soon.
Oh, I love that one.
I think you're going to like it. You should check it out.
I know that song, but I just didn't know the author. Yeah.
Andre Crouch. Yeah. Was the writer of that song. And he wrote amazing, amazing, soulful gospel music. So if you get a chance.
I saw him in person once.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Way back. I'm going to say in the 70s, maybe.
Yeah, when he wrote a lot. I think he wrote a lot of the stuff late 60s, early 70s, but he mm-hmm. was just inspired. He was divinely inspired, I think, because the songs are just, yeah. He wrote a song called The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power. Just amazing. Yeah. So if you like old soulful gospel music, is a place to go. But I do other music, not just gospel music, but you know, that happened to be a very thing that was very near and dear to my heart, because I got to perform with one of my I've grown up knowing the piano player, you know, I was born, he was older than me, so I was born knowing him. He says he heard me sing before he heard me speak. So it was a great pleasure to be able to work with such wonderful performers on such a great heartfelt project.
Julia, that's just a wonderful story. Thank you so much for that. Again, you can reach Julia on her Linktree. It's linktree.com, Julia Langley. And I will put that in the comments of the videos that we post so that folks get, it'll actually be a working link where folks can just click through to connect with you. So I get that. The Linktree is quite useful. I have one as well. I love it. And Linktree does have that goofy little tr.ee then.com/Julia Langley. So again, I'll post that in the content so that you can just click through and connect with Julia. And I'll also have a way to click through to connect with me and to connect with Rita as well. And so for those of you that are listening, you can find any of the three of us. So please, make yourself known, connect through, get to know us. We'd love to get to know you. I want to thank Carmela for being on with us as well today. She was driving, so she didn't come up front and show her beautiful face, but she is one of my co-hosts in one of my other lanes, and she wanted to hear Julia. So she listened in as she was driving to her event this evening. So Julia, thank you so much for being on. Any last words? Rita, any last words you'd like to say before we go?
Yeah, I just love this conversation, and I'm just so glad we had this amount of time to spend together to get to know you better and really what you have going on. And we'll have to have you on back again, because you and I can sing a little duet together or something.
Now, yeah, go on Rita's Instagram. Is it on Instagram? And she's actually singing while she's in Italy.
I was rapping. I just got back from Italy. And
she was rapping. Oh my gosh.
There was a street rapper in Naples singing the Sugar Hill Gang from like the 1980s. And I still remembered that rap. So I was doing the rap with him.
It was the best. It was the best.
Amazing. That's amazing.
I'm surprised you remembered all those words. I couldn't get all those words.
That's the only one I know. It was just imprinted from the 1980s when you just kept repeating it over and over. It was so popular.
Well, I remember stuff from then. It's the songs I sang last week. Right. Age years.
Julia, any last words from you before we go?
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for having me on today. I just enjoy talking to you guys so much. I'm so glad we could connect. And if there's anyone in the audience, that please feel free to reach out, and just say hello on any of my social media. I'm very open.
I love it. Thank you so much, Julia. I'll send you all the links to the replays so that you can use those however you wish. Rita, thank you as always. I love that you're on and my co-host, and thank you so much for your article in the magazine. I created our own little bit.ly link for the magazines so that I could kind of track how many click-throughs we're getting. And we've had 97 folks that have looked at the magazine, and we just launched, not even a full day ago. So
Kathy, oh, And yeah, I'd love to do an article for you on there as well. So
perfect. I love that. Yes. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right, ladies, we will see you next time. And thanks to all of our listeners and viewers, and stay tuned for our next guest next month.
Good night, everyone.
Bye for now.
Bye.